purposes of a gathering like this is that all of us would be consecrated afresh to the Lord. But those of us who are older, we haven't much longer to go. But what potential is evident here this afternoon in young lives? And you know, if only as a result of the ministry, one soul here, one young person, would devote his all to Christ, lay everything upon the altar, in a world like this. I always think of Barley when he said, the world is yet to know what God can do through one devoted life. Moody said, by the grace of God, I will be that one devoted life. We look for results in the gospel, but how often we overlook consecrated living. And so even today, following the Bible reading, some were speaking to me. But one brother came and he said, I want to be a disciple after what I've heard. I want to follow and know the Lord. This is what it's all about. Shall we read in the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, following on what our brother has introduced, the right? Without reading the context at all, how they were saved, these Thessalonians, I want to read verse 7. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her own children. Here we have the attitude of the great evangelist when he saw some saved. He desired to be a nursing mother. Later on in this passage, he speaks of being a teaching father as well, as a father teaches his own children, verse 11. But here he speaks of a nursing mother, one who has seen them saved and is at travail, and being a nursing mother, gentleness as a nursing mother for their physical and spiritual blessing. Now let us turn back in our Bible to the first mention of a nurse. I've no doubt that Paul had in mind the nurses of the Old Testament, and that's what I'm going to speak about to illustrate this subject of nursing young believers. Genesis 24, beautiful passage, and in it we have what might answer to a true conversion. Wilt thou go with this man? I will go. Verse 59. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant. What a delightful thing that was, that as she left, she had Abraham's servant and the nurse. Chapter 35, Genesis 35, verse 9. Verse 8. Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Alan Bechut, which means the oak of tears, the oak of weeping. Now the book of Exodus, please, so well known that we're going to read a few verses here. Verse 6 of chapter 2. And when she had opened it, the ark, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she, Pharaoh's daughter, had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse, Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. Now, the little book of Ruth, please. 55 verses of delight, one of the most beautiful portions in the Old Testament. Well, we'll read here in chapter 4, shall we? At the birth of Obed, these lovely words of verse 15, and he shall be unto thee, chapter 4, 15 of Ruth, a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better than even 7 sons of born. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. The woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. Cause for worship. Now in the second book of Samuel, chapter 4, concerning Mephibosheth here, verse 4, he was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. Came to pass as she made haste to flee, that he fell out of her arms, and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. The last reading is a very interesting one in 2 Kings chapter 11. Theologically and dispensationally, it's a very important chapter. The lowest ebb of the seed royal, only one left here. I want you to notice these beautiful words. Verse 2 of 2 Kings 11, and Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, stole him from among the king's sons which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Rephaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was hid. He was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And then verse 12, at the end of the 6 years, the 7th year, he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him, and gave him the testimony, and they made him king and anointed them, and they clapped their hands and said, God saved the king, and he sat on the throne of the kings, verse 19, last sentence. And all the people of the land rejoiced, the city was in quiet. Now the Lord will bless the reading of what has gone before of his precious word. It would be perfectly evident to anyone here, if I were to say no more, that in these scriptures we have the subject of nursing. And I want to speak about that wonderful subject in a spiritual sense today. In the physical aspect of things, it's a most important profession. If we think of motherhood, we think of the care of a nursing mom at the beginning of the life of a child. And today, people are saying that what that child will be physically later will have its foundation in the type of feeding and care given by a nursing mother. Much of the delinquency and departure today is due not only to the nursing as far as good is concerned, but the nursing of the child in the home. My mother is in heaven a long time. I remember what she taught me still. It was she who taught me first to pray. You know, some people don't believe that their children should say prayers in the evening. I've met with many brethren and they say you can't tell an unsaved child to pray. Well, I taught my children to pray. And I taught my grandchildren to pray, to acknowledge God, evening, and at her food. My mother taught me those things that have remained with me all my life and many other things. We can thank God for our mothers who were saved. Some people never had a mother saved. But those of us who have a saved mother, we thank God every day. Now, as far as the profession of nursing is concerned, very honorable. Many people that have come through severe surgery have been suitable nurses. They didn't make it. Much depends upon the care of the nurse. And many times in the hospitals over 50 years that I've visited there, I have admired the dedication of nurses. We've been reminded of the home that is in the project of our brother, Langley, and their care by nurses for those who are aged, weak. Every time I go to such places, I thank God for such, that elder statesmen and elder sisters amongst us could have a quiet place at the end of the journey. I was called upon in Ireland a few months ago when I was there in January to be at the opening of a new home built for the aged. The first person to come was Charles McHugh of Exeter, over 90 years of age, and his wife. I welcomed him into that home, but his wife only lived a very short time. I sent a letter of sympathy to him since. He was Mr. McEwen, John Knox McEwen's son. An old, old man who served the Lord for years. He came there. It was a happy occasion, the opening of it. Brother Hutchinson was there and Brother Tom Bentley, our wives. We opened that lovely home for aged believers. Wonderful thing. And then the nursing care. I think of the care for an aged person is a very trying and difficult thing to ease them and ease their burdens and bring comfort to them. And so we might go on and spend a lot of time about this wonderful profession, nursing. But the apostle here uses it as a figure. Many are weak because of poor nursing. Many remain dwarfs in their health because of poor nutrition at the beginning, and so on. And many need to be nursed through illnesses, and they don't have that comfort. Now the apostle, when he saw these believers saved from the disease of sin, the mighty operation of the Spirit that brought them out of that critical condition when they turned to God for guidance. And now he saw the need of nursing. And he said, I was gentle among you, as a nursing mother would nurse her own children. A large number of young people here. In some places we have lost young people. And we say, well, it was the world. Maybe. No doubt some go back to the world. But perhaps we have not exercised the right type of nursing, which requires patience and gentleness and forbearance and long-suffering and bearing with their difficulties that we may not have known anything about. For many brethren are out of touch with society. They don't understand the contemporary world we're living in. They live in a generation that's past. I've always tried to see the thoughts of young men and teenagers and children, what they're thinking about. And that is a wonderful thing. When my grandchildren come to visit me, I say, well, how long are you here for? Papa, we're here forever. Want to stay forever. Because I sit down with those little ones and I enter into their simple thoughts and play little games with them and so on. We mustn't get out of touch with our children and with our grandchildren. And so in the spiritual sense, perhaps theologians have lost the idea that we have children in the faith that dress a little differently, that have a concept that we never had, living in a different age and generation, and how are we going to cope with them? The usual way is to cut their head off, hit them with a big hammer, and lose them forever. No, we have to be gentle among them as a nurse. Bearing and forbearing and showing that spirit of Christ that finally they may change, because we all go through phases in our Christian life. Everyone goes through certain phases in his Christian life, and we can change. I've seen people when they were saved, and one would never have thought, and there's some even here today. I was preaching in the conference years ago when some were saved and they had hair down their back with a bow on it. Today they're in the assemblies. I'll not tell you what assembly they're in. But they're in the assembly today. And at their conversion, no one thought they would ever make it. There's a young man in the Lansing Assembly I saw him the other day. He was living common law down near Main Street there. And he got saved. And no one thought he would make it. He's an elder in the assembly today. Married to that young woman, she got saved as well. Their life was changed. Took a little while to balance them out and get them to the place where they are now. Nursery. Now, there's 15 minutes gone. I'm only an introduction. I want to think that Paul looked back into the Old Testament. And he saw the nurses of the Bible. And he used these to illustrate in his mind. You know, the Old Testament's a beautiful picture book to bring Christ before us, but it's a wonderful book to go to for illustrations on this subject of nursing. Now in Genesis 24 and 35, we have the first mention of a nurse in the Bible. And whenever Rebecca made the choice, I will go, it meant separation from the world that she had known. It meant getting onto a camel's back. I don't know whether you've ever been on a camel's back or ridden on a camel. But I want to tell you, seasickness and air sickness and car sickness are preferable to camel sickness. Camel sickness is a tremendous thing. And Rebecca's on a camel. And as she looks on one side, Abraham's servant. It's a new environment completely. She never has had this experience before, leaving her old friends behind, leaving her old country behind, starting on a long journey to see a man that she had never seen. Typically, you've followed it, the story. That's why it's there. But on one side, there's a nameless servant. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit is like that nameless servant. He will go with us all the way through the desert. I think the Lord in the upper room had it in mind when he said, I will not leave you without a comforter. He shall be with you all the way. Never leaves his people, the Holy Spirit, the servant at conversion. But then she had one with whom she could relate, a nurse. It's a grand thing to have the Holy Spirit invisible, indwelling us to guide us. But it's a grand thing to have a nursing father or a nursing mother that we can relate to, and they can relate to us. And that nurse went through all the storms. I have called this nurse a steadfast nurse. You know, we're going to have a nurse. We want one that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. A nurse that never changes. One that will guide us all the way. And you know, when we come to Genesis 35, when that type of nurse dies, there was weeping. They buried Deborah under the oak, and he called the place Allen-Bakshut, which means the oak of weeping. You know, when I was first saved, I had nurses. and they guided me through the way. One of the brethren that commended me to the work was one of the godliest of all the elders in the assembly. And every Saturday morning I went to his place of business. When I came home on Friday, I had an appointment at 10 o'clock Saturday morning. I went up to his store, and we went back into the little back room, and we sat down. He said, "How did you make it this week?" And I told him. I said, "How did you make it?" And I was only a boy, my early 20s. He began to tell me about the difficulties in the assembly. You know what I said to him one day? I'm glad I'm out preaching. Don't have your trouble. There's lots of problems. The governors and leaders of assemblies have lots of trouble. And he was nursing me. And then I began to nurse him. You know, everyone can be a nurse. You can't all be overseers. And you can't all be teachers. But every one of us can nurse one another. Along the way. Gentle word. Kindly word. And we knelt down to pray. I often look at my letter of commendation, written by, signed by those men. Well, not long ago, a few years ago, a letter came in the mail, and I opened it up. And you know what it was? It was a second letter of commendation from the same assembly. And they said, "It's over 40 years since the brethren signed your letter. We want to sign another letter." And I brought down the first letter. It was written on a jotter. This is sophisticated, with the hall on it and all the arrangements, signed by some of their sons. I put them both down. My wife said, "What are you looking at this so earnestly today?" I said, "I've got my license renewed for another 40 years. Don't believe in officialdom, but it was a touching thing. But as I looked at that, I thought of the old nurses. My, they were godly men. And they cared for the saints. And they loved the saints. Sometimes they were sharp. I thank God for every time that I was rebuked. And every time that man spoke to me and showed me where I had gone away astray. So thank you to the Lord for those early nurses." And you know, it's a long time since I stood at some of their graves. And even yet, my eyes fill with tears as I think of them. They said, "The old nurses." One by one, they go away. Our brother Funson was a nurse here. It's 36 years since I first came to Vancouver. And at that time, he had a nursing spirit for young people. Both he and his wife and their home. As you know, at those young people's meetings, I went to them often and spoke to the young children there, the teenagers at that time. And they owe a lot to what they were taught and guided, nurses. In Exodus chapter 1 and 2, it's the most interesting thing to me, that the Old Testament begins with a man building an ark to save his house. But Exodus begins with a woman making a little ark to save her child. Where did she get the idea? I believe from Noah. If Noah built an ark to save his family, God's direction, I make a little ark of bulrushes, fix it within without the slime, and I lay my babe in that little ark to save him from the crocodile. But you wouldn't take him down to the River Nile with a crocodile's eye, yes. And she also took him to the very place where she knew that Pharaoh's daughter bathed. We would have taken the child far away from Pharaoh's daughter and far away from Pharaoh's palace, and we would have taken that little ark with our treasure in it, not to the River Nile among the bulrushes. And when she came, Jochebed, she set the ark down a convenient place. You say she would
hide in the bulrushes and watch. No, no, she went home. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Left her burden by the river. But Miriam, the first Mary in the Bible, she peered through the bulrushes. I've often said in reading John 20 that Jochebed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed, illustrated.
Miriam, like Thomas, except I see, I will not believe. She waited in the bulrushes. Pharaoh's daughter came.
Now, the most interesting thing to compare the woman in Genesis with the woman in Exodus. There are seven women in Genesis that I have compared with seven women in Exodus. And the Egyptian woman in Genesis has no love in her heart. Potiphar's wife. No compassion for Joseph.
But under redemption, in the redemptive book, here's Pharaoh's daughter. And Jochebed knew she was a woman of compassion.
And as she came down and her maid got this little ark and brought it, and as they opened it up, there was a tear on the eye of Moses. I've often wondered, there's mysteries about Moses that have amazed me. Here's one little simple mystery. And if you can help me afterwards, I'd be so thankful. Why did his mother give him no name? He never had a name from his mother. And she had him a long time, 6 months, never gave him a name.
Pharaoh's daughter looked at the nameless child, and she called his name Moses. I've drawn, it means drawn from the water. Joseph was given a name by an Egyptian, Zaphnath-Paaneah. It was only mentioned once. He didn't bear an Egyptian name. He was still Joseph. But Moses carries an Egyptian name. Yet his mother gave him no name. Woman of faith, though she was. But I call a nurse. The tear on the cheek of that day moved the heart of the great princess. And Miriam sprang forward and said, shall I bring a nurse of the Egyptian woman? She went and called the child's mother. A suitable person to nurse. You know, if you have the pangs of travail to see a young person born again in the assembly, you'll have a desire to see that young person grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. When we see someone saved, we have a real burden in our heart that they will go on well for the Lord. This is what it's here, suitable nursing. Did you ever know that Moses made two choices? We often speak of the choice he made when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. His mother taught him, and taught him well. But you know, there was a day when he came to years. He made a choice. He said to his mother, words like these, I believe he said. If you don't believe me, we'll ask her in heaven. But I believe he said. I made my choice to go to the palace, to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It's a wonderful opportunity for me. Why, someday I might be the Pharaoh of Egypt. His mother was sad the day he made the first choice. Went down the road. But she had indoctrinated them with the hopes of the people of God and the redemption that had been promised from the land of Egypt. And as he was in that court of Pharaoh, he changed his thinking. And one day, he went into Pharaoh's daughter and he said, I have nothing against the treatment I've received, but I'm leaving the palace. I'm resigning my position as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm going back to my mother. I'm going back to the place where I had my roots.
I'm going to cast my lot with the people of God, refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now some of our young people, when they come to the entrance to life, they decide there's something bigger in the world than a little assembly down the road. And we feel that all our teaching and all the things we brought them up to understand, they cast it overboard. But wait, down the road someday, come back. Train up a child in the way he shall go. And when he is old, it shall not depart from him as the proper reading. What we teach them, indoctrinate them with, they may forget, they may wander, they may think the world's a bigger place, but by and by it will bring them back. The sad day for Jochebed, the day he made the wrong choice for the universities of Egypt, and the learning of Egypt, and all the art and wonder of an Egyptian palace. But what a day when he came out. He came back among the slaves of Egypt that were disdained, became the greatest ruler, likely the greatest man in the history of Israel. Moses, a prophet like unto me, shall the Lord your God raise up. Why? The nursing. Because of his mother. The nursing and the care of his mother, it paid off at last. But we want nurses among the Lord's people. We need steadfast people. And we need suitable nurses. Something else we need. We need those with soft heart. The book of Ruth opens with Naomi standing at the grave. Broken heart. But the book of Ruth ends with Naomi holding a child in her arms. And we read these lovely words. She took the child to her bosom and became a nurse over him. I wonder, is there any of us here who would adopt some young person in the assembly? Spiritually. Someone perhaps that comes from a home where there was no encouragement. Someone from another land that came here, a different color, different race and culture. Hope we don't disdain them. Take a child into our bosom. Nurture them, things of God. Gently lead them along the path of God. You'll never be a nurse. You have a harsh spirit. You'll never have any ability to nurse the Lord's people if you've got prejudices against any race or culture of people. I had a wonderful experience a few weeks ago when a young woman who was a Buddhist desired to be baptized. And the brother that baptized her, he was an Oriental as well. And I was there at that baptism. First Buddhist I'd ever seen that time. Touched my heart as that dear girl looked out into the water. Buried with Christ in baptism. I felt like singing that old hymn beside the garden to my stand. And see him laid away with reverent hand. But in that grave face seed not one but two. God hid me there. Forever from his view. Beautiful ordinance of baptism. Carried out by a Buddhist. Going down into those waters. That's my heart. Took the child. To a priest. To a nurse. 2 Kings 11 is love. The seed roy is at the lowest bed. It's the last link of the coming Christ. The seed of the woman to be preserved. The attack on the seed of the woman is so powerful that on this occasion in the reign of Athaliah, there's only one lad. One lad in testimony. Jehosheba, a priest's wife and a princess. She stole Joash from among the king's sons and hid him with his nurse for 6 years. The day came when this man became the king. He got the testimony in his hand. He was a ruler over the land, and he sang God's, shouted God's, save the king. He never would have been there. There's no mention of a hidden nurse behind the scene that sought to help. We had hidden nurses. When I was a young preacher, there was an assembly we went to in Ireland. An old sister there, one of the godliest women of the times. And what she did, she asked all the preachers that came after lunch in the big house there, she would ask each of them, who was Hezekiah's father? And all the kings of Israel and Judah, she asked these preachers who their father was and who their mother was. So I said, well, when she asked me, I knew them all. So I learned them all. So after dinner, she said, now, I want to ask you a few questions. I said, dear God, she never asked me one of the kings of Israel and Judah all the time I was there. She asked me other questions. But that woman gave me advice as a young fellow. She was a mother in Israel. Never forget that Rachel was a shepherdess. Don't hear much of a shepherdess. Joseph learned to be a shepherd because his father was a shepherd. But his mother was a shepherd as well. A shepherdess. She came with a flock to the land, to walk. We need shepherdesses, not in an official sense. We need godly sisters and descendants to encourage you. And we need nurses. And I hope none of us will ever be like the nurse of Mephibosheth. She stumbled them. Those of us who are in a position of nursing, shepherding, shepherdessing, caring for the young, we need to watch our step. Lest in carelessness we would mar a young Christian, and you would never be able to walk right, tripped up by the failure of a nurse. The Lord write it on